Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Property Beat, where real estate is part of your life. The coffee is hot, the conversation lively, and we're talking real estate. I'm your host, Cliff Perotti, along with co-host Jonathan Nicholas. Keeping us on track and out of trouble is our producer for the show, Tom McGowan. And now, on to the Property Beat.
All right. Good afternoon and welcome to the Property Beat. We are excited to spend some additional time with you folks as we present another informative episode. This is going to be a lot of fun. We've got some great guests on this show today. So we just want to say a big hello to all of our listeners. I am Cliff Perotti, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jonathan Nicholas. Jonathan just got dropped. Okay. So he'll be calling back in, I'm sure. Oh, there he is. Are you there?
I am here. I don't know what happened. I think you pressed the disconnect button, and you didn't want to talk to me today.
You just never know. It's very possible. You know, it's late in the afternoon. I'm sitting here drinking. Oh, it's a Coke. But you just never know what could happen here.
That's true. Well, how are you?
Doing well. We've had a little bit of a gap. We've been dormant, if you will, or silent for the last couple of weeks here on the show. And as we've been kind of building our guest list for the next 6 months, and we're excited to be back. So it's fun.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And you're in Chicago doing your thing, being busy, it sounds like.
Oh, very, very busy, and what a great place to be doing that thing in. getting ready for the winter weather. I mean, we donned our heavy coats today and brought our umbrellas down. It was more like a mixture of Seattle and somewhere up in Canada because it was a cold, blustery wind with a lot of rain, but kind of giving us a taste of what's
Yeah, I had a. It's really rough out here. It's 85 degrees, so I can't tell you. San Francisco's pretty nice.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, as always, we are talking real estate. Today's show is about a hot topic that is on everyone's mind. We're talking REO properties. That's real estate owned. So as you listen in, you're going to have some. We have some great guests that are going to basically. They've written a book, the Bible, so to speak, on REO properties. We'll be joined by the REO brothers, Aram and Tim Shaw, and they're considered basically the top REO brokers in the U.S. Their book just hit the shelves today. We are excited to have them here, so stay tuned, folks. It's going to be good.
Well, we'd like to also encourage you, our listener out there, and invite you to become a part of the conversation here at the Property Beat, as we do each and every week, and you can do that by simply calling in to us here at the studio 347-989-0439. Again, that number is 347-989-0439. Now, you can also email us your comments and your questions by emailing them to questions@thepropertybeat.com. And you can also download any archived episodes if you missed a week or two in there. Feel free to go to iTunes and pull us down, or just visit the Property Beat website. And there will be a list of all the archive shows there for you to interact with. So if you're in need of a competent professional agent, well, we've got just the thing for you. You can check out our Find an Agent tab at the top of the Property Beat website. We'll put you in touch with somebody in your local market.
Well, now, before we get to our guests for the subject today, we've always got a couple of news stories that we bring you, so we'll be bringing those to you right after this important message. We'll be right back.
Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Sure.
You taste 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. Hawaiian punch is made with 7 kinds of fruit for a one-of-a-kind fruit taste.
Hawaiian punch fruit punch with 10% real fruit juice for a real fruit juicy taste.
Hawaiian punch is made with 7 kinds of fruit
for a one-of-a-kind fruit taste.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's time once again for Real Estate News here at the Property Beat.
Wow!
Oh, boy, okay. We've been in this room long too long. Okay, so what do you got for us? Let's start off with that. Jonathan, you want to start us off with a good story, news story?
Well, yeah, I'll start off on the positive slant. How's that? Because there's so much other stuff that we could be talking about. So we'll go the positive slant. You know, the nice thing about technology, and especially websites out there, as the consumers are going to them more and more, you know, over 90% of all real estate searches start online now. And the nice thing about this technology is that we can figure out where the hot spots are in the nation and literally drill down to what the most popular cities are for real estate searches. Mm-hmm. And an article just recently came out showing those top 10 areas that consumers are going in and searching for, and it might give us an indication of the activity in the market or perhaps the hotness of the market, so to speak, or even, you know, the number of listings. So topping that list, where would you guess the most real estate activity as far as online searches are happening?
I'm going to say Las Vegas or Phoenix.
You know, I would have said the very same thing. And Las Vegas shows up at number 8 on the list, and Phoenix right above it at number 7. The number one spot in the nation was Chicago, Illinois. Amazing to me.
Now, that could be news, and that could be bad news.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And the number 2, which stands to reason, Detroit, Michigan. You know, very battered market up there.
That's just because the Lions are having a good season.
I guess so. I think it's because President Obama has now made GM Motors a success. You know, since he
there it is.
That. And then number 3, Los Angeles, California. Number 4, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. 5, Atlanta, Georgia. Always in the middle of the pack for some reason, Atlanta.
Yep.
And 6, Tampa, Florida. Phoenix, Las Vegas, Dallas, Texas coming in at number 9, and number 10, Boston, Massachusetts. So very interesting that that's where people are searching. So some of the other hotbed areas.
Yeah, it might give a good clue as to what's going to be jamming and moving quickly, huh?
Right, I hope so.
Well, you know, we're sticking with lists, so I'm going to bring you a list on for one of my news stories. And it's an article that came out in the Inman News that talks about the top 6 reason mortgage applications are being rejected today. Top 6 reason mortgage apps are being rejected. So here they go. Number 1, income issues. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So you don't make enough money to buy this place. Number 2, muddled money matters. So they have too heavy on overtime reliance or bonuses, or they have rental income that's skee-wickety. Something's not clean. So muddled money matters is number 2. 3, credit issues. Well, that's got to describe, holy smokes, 40% of the people that lost their houses in foreclosure.
Right.
Number 4, property didn't appraise. And then condition problems with the property. And then number 6, technical difficulties with the application. So somewhere along the line, you didn't fill in the right line.
Right. You didn't sign it either.
Yeah. A minor point. Yeah.
Wow, that's very, very interesting. Now, I saw a report while I was searching through some of the news archives today that was talking about, you know, that 4% or 3.8 or 3.7, whatever they're advertising out there, low, low interest rate available. And the title of the article was Good Luck Getting It. And they were talking about how less than 5% of borrowers will qualify for those low rates.
Yeah.
Simply
wow.
Because of some of the things you just brought up right there. That's very interesting. Well, we've got another story. Let's look here. We've got rental demands being on the rise again. And we've talked about that quite a bit here at the Property Beat. It continues to be an issue out there that we see in the forefront of the news, talking about the rise of the renter instead of the rise of the homeowner. And as you know, we've discussed that homeownership rates have fallen about a point and a half from around 67 down to 65% now. But they're continuing to fall. But on the opposite side, there's been an increase of 1.4 million households out there that moved into rental housing over the last year. So that's a 4% increase. That's the largest one-year increase that's been seen in a number of years. I think they're even saying it's going all the way back to the 30s and 40s. So there is certainly a significant trend that we need to watch out for. And what does this mean to you, the listener? Well, if you want to invest in rental property, now is the time to do it. Get out there and start investing, because rental property is on the rise. A recent report by CCIM, the Commercial Council at the National Association of Realtors, was talking about the increase and the uptick in multifamily dwellings as well. So if you want to put your money somewhere, put it into a rental real estate because it's going to be with us for a long time coming.
Amen, brother. I tell you, I talked to somebody yesterday. In the last couple of weeks, I've had more people say to me, hey, you know, should I be buying something out there because I'm watching my stock market go up, down, my 401k is disappearing day by day. I can do one of those self-directed IRAs. Should I be jumping in? And I'm saying absolutely. So, yeah, good point, good point. Well, let me give you our final story, and that's going to be on poor Larry Ellison. We know who he is. He's the CEO of Oracle, has that big expensive sailboat that runs around out there. Well, he has a place here in San Francisco, and he just recently bought his next-door neighbor's house for $40 million.
Wow.
That's called, boy, I really want to get rid of my neighbors. So he bought the house, and at the same time, this week has actually been a big one for him because he also settled a long, ongoing dispute that's been going back to 2004 with a downslope neighbor of his. He wanted to trim a tree in their yard, and he wanted to cut it down too significantly, and so they ended up in this tree-trimming battle that's gone on for 5 years. And apparently got settled. But it was one of the funniest things was to me was that the poor older couple that had this house said one day they go out and they take pictures of his tree trimmers climbing their tree without permission. I thought, wow, that's pretty audacious, you know. So yeah. If you want to live next to Larry, it's going to cost you $40 million, but it's too late. He's already bought it.
And a lot of short shrubs. That's what it's going to cost you.
Well, folks, we'll be back right after this quick break with our question of the week. Stay tuned.
My dog's faster than your dog. My dog's bigger than yours. My dog's better because he gets kennel ration. My dog's better than yours.
Kennel ration. The lean red meat he wants, the other good things he needs. Juicy, tender, and moist.
My dog's prettier, smarter, taller. My dog's better than yours.
Kennel ration.
Woof.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, welcome back, and it's time for Question of the Week. So, as some of you know, we love to challenge our listeners with a question each week. Jonathan, what was the question from our last show?
Well, as you recall, we did a show on the Vegas market and all the opportunity out there. So what did we say was the average percentage discount? Well, it's like if you walked into a store and they said 50% off. Well, what would that equate to in the local market there? What was the percentage discount off the market high sales price?
And the answer is?
60% off. Wow.
Yahoo! 60%. Properties on sale in Vegas. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we had a winner, Jim Burns of Sarasota, Florida. Jim will be receiving a Property Beat t-shirt. And Jonathan, what about this week? What's our question?
Well, here's one from the Property Beat archives, that's for sure. And I'm reaching down right now, having to blow the dust off of this question. And it's a tricky one. It's the first time we've ever given a multiple choice answer possibility here. But in what decade would you find the lowest historical mortgage interest rates? If you were to look through all the decades of the last century, which one would you find?
Question.
And so was it the 40s? That's A. Was it the 60s? That's B. Was it the 90s? C. Or the current decade that we find ourselves in right now as answer D?
All right. Well, if you think you know the answer to this week's question, send it to us here at the show by emailing us at questions@thepropertybeat.com. And if you don't know, we have a good friend named Google that you can use to find the answer to that one. Once you know your answer, go ahead and be the first one to email it in to us. Don't be shy. We'll be right back after this brief message with our guests, the REO Brothers. Stay tuned.
My baloney has a first name, it's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name, it's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat it every day, and if you ask me why I'll say, cause Oscar Mayer has a way with B-R-O-D-N-A.
Oscar Mayer, the first name in Bologna.
How's that?
All right. Well, welcome back, folks, to the Property Beat. where this week's our guests are the REO brothers, Aram and Tim Shaw, founders and principals at Florida Capital Realty in Miami, Florida. They're known as the absolute source for information regarding the REO market, and they've recently demonstrated that by releasing a new book entitled REO Boom. Aram and Tim, thank you for being with us today, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much,
Cliff. Thank you.
What's going on?
Oh, well, lots going on. You're going on, baby. So now, as our listeners know, one of the things that we like to do with our guests is to ask them to start off by telling them a little something. Tell us something about you that's unusual or interesting or cool that you've done. It can be something you've done or someone you've met or anything you're proud of. It doesn't have to be real estate related. In fact, oftentimes we prefer it's not. Just to give us a little insight about who you guys are. So what do you got for us? Give us a scoop.
Definitely. Well, you know, after running a marathon with REOs, we ended up training for 6 months, and we finished a real marathon in October, 10-10-10, in Chicago.
Wow.
And let me tell you, it was no walk in the park.
Ba-dum-bum.
So, have you guys ever ran a marathon before?
I'm sorry,
no.
Did you say something?
didn't quite hear that.
It was no walk in the park, let me tell you.
All right, you're breaking up. You're breaking up.
The only marathon I've ever run is between the fast food restaurants, you know, down by school. That's just about it. So.
Oh, my Lord. No, that's hard, though. I mean, that really is. I mean, I've watched my wife has never run a marathon full one. She's done a half one. And just watching my daughter's done a full one, but just the training alone is just like, wow, that's grueling, especially in Chicago where it can be really hot.
Let me tell you, when we first started, we couldn't even run a mile. It's crazy how you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. All right, what are you telling me? I got to go, guys. I got to go run a marathon. Here we go. Well, folks, we'd like to remind our listeners, if you have questions for REO Brothers that you'd like to ask them, go ahead and just simply call us at 347-989-0439. Again, 347-989-0439.
Well, guys, you're known out there in the real estate industry to be the movers and shakers in the arena of REO listings, and what a great moniker to have there. But for our listening audience who might not know what an REO is, could you explain that to us, and what got you into this particular interesting niche of the business?
Okay, so basically, when a bank forecloses on a property, right, it gets it back in its inventory. It's called REO, real estate owned. It's actually the bank's real estate owned property. As far as that's basically what it stands for. And, you know, how we got into the business, it was a long time ago. While no one even knew what REOs were, that's how we got in. We forecasted the defaults and all these bubbles that were about to happen, and the next big thing was REOs, real estate owned properties.
For the banks.
Mm-hmm. Wow, interesting. So you were prognosticators, you had your crystal ball out. You saw it was an opportunity to jump in there. So now tell us, because a lot has happened since then. So what percentage of the U.S. market is actually real estate owned or bank owned listings out there? And do you see that market increasing, or do you think it's shrinking over the next few years?
Well, right now it's about 35% of the U.S. market, which is REOs. And without a doubt, that number is going to increase. And actually, we predict it to increase to about 50% in the next couple of years. And there's a couple of reasons, but for the audience that isn't aware of the REO news, basically, there's been a big moratorium in the last 2 years that pretty much banks are being very cautious on litigating foreclosures. So it's caused kind of like a backlog of REOs that are going to eventually hit the market, and that number is definitely going to accelerate, and we expect it to be about 50% in the next couple of years.
I mean, well, as of 2010, 1 in 45 homes that received foreclosure filings, over 2.8 million U.S. properties. And
wow.
The biggest states, Florida, California, Arizona, Illinois, and Michigan, 51%.
Wow, that's amazing. And you know, you see reports out there all the time in the news about how long it's taking for banks to take these properties back. There was a stat that was shared, 651 days being the average time now, which is just incredible. And there's even headlines across the country of people being in their homes for 2 and 3 and 4 years before the bank takes it back. And I guess I can see what you're saying. There's a backlog. And what is that going to flood the market? When do you think that's going to happen?
Well, for the last 6 to 12 months, banks have realized that they'd rather re-foreclose on properties to avoid any lawsuits. So they'd rather go through the whole foreclosure process all over just to make sure that they followed every single procedure. So it's created a backlog, but ultimately it's all going to flood the market.
And that means opportunity for people that are buying foreclosures. Prices are going to drop, and people are going to find steals in the marketplace.
And in addition to the backlog of foreclosures, there's a lot of consumers that are strategically defaulting on their homes. So all these factors are going to result in REOs flooding the market in the next 2 to 3 years, and that's going to last for the next 5 to 10 years.
So when you say strategically defaulting, they have the money, but they just choose to walk away? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, basically they realize that they owe more than what the home is worth. So in their eyes, it's worth it for them to continue with their mortgage.
And as you just said, Cliff, the average days on market for foreclosure was 600-something days. I mean, think about it. From a consumer standpoint, they figure, well, hey, I can live in this home for free for a couple of years, and then when it finally gets taken away, then I'll find something else. So that's what's going on, and that's what's creating this backlog of properties.
Right, and
wow.
In addition to that, the fact that they can live in the property, it makes them not want to do anything else like loan modification or short sale. So they'd rather just end up with it being foreclosed and the title being reverted back to the bank.
Very interesting. So does your company manage the listings, you know, because I'm sure there's a property management element here, or do you just sell the listings or you do both?
Actually, the company Florida Capital Realty is growing very rapidly. Aram and I have transitioned out of the company, you know, day-to-day operations and more into the consulting side of REOs. But every REO listing agent wants to grow their business. And the fundamental principle that they have to focus on is maximizing the sales price of the REO and minimizing the disposition time. So the bank wants the highest price with the optimal days on market.
Just like
and
any seller.
Yeah, exactly. We all want that, yeah.
But imagine doing that, right, in a sliding market. So that's a challenge, and that's what's going on right now with the realtors out there, and that's where the opportunity is for them.
So do you guys manage the properties, though? I mean, once you take a listing, do you have to manage it or something?
Well, definitely. Listing agents, they do both. They end up managing it, listing it, and carrying it all the way from the time the bank gets the possession of it to the time the bank sells it to the end consumer. So, you know, basically once the bank takes possession of the property, they need to secure it and then make sure it's accessible. Once that's completed, the bank finds a listing agent that they contract the property too. So that listing agent will end up doing everything, managing it, listing it, and ending up carrying it to disposition.
There's actually six steps, and we call this the six steps of the REO cycle, and that's when basically the realtor steps in once the bank gives the property to the real estate agent or real estate broker, and they take care of the property and manage it from A to Z. So they go out there, they knock on the door, see if anyone's living there, they do the occupancy check reports. They'll go ahead and do the BPO, they'll do the value, the pricing, they'll manage the contractors, they'll do the repairs, they'll put it on the market, put the list price, and basically market it until it sells. And all the way to the end until it closes and they manage the reimbursements from the bank. So it's basically, there's a six-step process in the REO cycle. And yes, that's what a lot of agents do.
Right.
All right. Well, folks, stay tuned. We're going to pause for a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after this.
You worked too hard. You ate too much. The cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Ah, those Speedy Alka-Seltzer bubbles burst into action to relieve your upset stomach and aching head fast. If only as directed. Oh, what a relief it is. What a relief.
All right, welcome back, folks. If you'd like to join in and ask our guests, the REO Brothers, questions, you may call us live at 347-989-0439. Again, 347-989-0439. Man, I got looking at the wrong number there. That was hysterical.
Did I hear a niner in there somewhere?
You did. I got to stop drinking this Coke. It's really bad for me.
Okay. Well, Tim, tell us what changes you've seen in the REO business since you started working, you know, in consulting in this segment of the industry. What's happened? It's been around for a while, but, you know, it seems like we've been concentrating on this for the last two or three years. So what changes have happened?
It has been happening for a while. Actually, what's happening is the surge of REOs is causing banks to look for more and more agents. So banks are opening their doors up. They want agents who know how to list, manage, and sell REOs. So as the banks continue to open their doors, more and more agents are getting into the REO business. Another change that's happening is banks have realized that they can't just cut the price of a house and wait for it to sell. They need to market. They want to maximize the sales price. They don't want to do a quick sale because that's only going to hurt them with other assets. So they're starting to realize in order to get that maximum sales price, they need listing agents who know how to market. So there's a huge marketing emphasis with REOs.
Very interesting.
Yes. So basically, if you know how to list, if you're a realtor or a real estate agent and you know how to list your own home for sale,
mm-hmm.
it's all about marketing. If you can do that, the banks want you. However, the barrier is agents don't have the material, the knowledge, the know-how of how to get into the game.
Right.
And basically that's all going to change because as more and more banks are looking for agents, ultimately more agents are going to end up listing and selling REOs.
Sounds like that's a fact. And the banks have moved away from that old slash and burn, slash the price, you know, liquidate the property. And I'm seeing that banks are now even hiring, or through the agent, hiring professional stagers to come in and stage the properties, you know, more than just slap on a coat of paint. But they're putting them, you know, in their best shape to maximize their investment, I guess. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, they're going away from the slash and deflate mentality and really focusing on and marketing. And actually, there's a systematic process to doing it the right way. And we actually have a 20-point checklist in our book. But it starts from exactly what you said. You have to treat marketing as if it's a luxury home. You can't just put the property in the MLS, put a yard sign, and you think it's going to sell. It doesn't work like that anymore. You know, you've got to treat it as if you're selling your own home. If an agent is selling their own home or their parents' home, how are they going to treat the REO? That's how you got to think. And that's the key.
Now, for you all to have as much success as you had before you transitioned into the consulting side of the business, as brokers that specialize in REO listings, what did you do that was so innovative that captured the attention of all these bank asset managers to give you the listings?
Well, I'll tell you what, when we started, we had no knowledge. We had no franchise behind us. We started from nothing. There was nothing in the marketplace that was there to help us at all. But from our trials and errors, you know, we decided that there has to be some type of system within REOs for agents to follow in order for them to be successful. And through our experiences, our systems, our trials and errors, we finally have that foolproof system, and it's all outlined in REO Boom.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I think we had a question come in on
we
email.
We do, yeah. I just Kenny from Knoxville, Tennessee. He's emailing in and he's saying he has a friend who says that he gets notified of bank-owned listings prior to them ever going to the market. And he says, "Is there such a thing, or is this guy pulling my leg?" is there a way for people to find out about properties from that are bank-owned before they get to the market?
Yeah, that's a great question. Here's what happens when an REO broker or company or real estate agent is contracted by the banks. The banks actually give them certain properties in inventory, right? So they may be sitting on like 200, 300 properties in inventory, but they're not ready to be sold. They don't have a list price. Maybe there's a tenant inside of it. Maybe it's really messed up and they got to rehab it, et cetera. So to answer your question, yes, that is possible. And as far as the consumer side, that's why a key element is working with the REO listing agent to find these deals, because they have kind of an insider's knowledge on finding that property.
Good. Well, there you go, Kenny. So, yes, he's not pulling your leg. He knows something you don't. So we'd like to remind our listeners, again, if you have questions you'd like to ask our guests, Aram and Tim, you can simply call us at 347-989-0439. We'll be right back after this quick message.
Tuesday Deck, the foaming cleanser. Clean pots and pans, just like a whisk.
Ajax cuts grease faster than any other leading cleanser.
Use the pain, the elbow packs, when you start cleaning with Ajax.
Ajax really polishes as it cleans.
So use Ajax, the foaming cleanser. Close the dirt, right down the drain.
My gosh, they're right. Foaming action Ajax makes even the dirtiest pan shine like new in a jiffy.
So use Ajax!
All right. Well, welcome back to the Property Beat, where we're talking to real estate and bank-owned listings. That's what we're talking about with the REO brothers. If you have a question or comment, you can simply join in by calling us at 347-989-0439. So you guys recently authored a new book for those looking to tap the REO market and you've called it REO Boom. I like the name. Why the title? And what was the why that prompted you to write this darn thing?
Well, the title is, you know, as entrepreneurs, our job is to find opportunity in markets. And the biggest key is to find an opportunity in a down market. And that's when you have the biggest opportunity to make the most amount of money. So like we said in the beginning, we forecasted, well, where is the market heading? If anyone remembers back in the day around 2000 to 2005, everyone was making money off of real estate, right? You just list the property and sold it, right?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we love those days.
But here's the deal. Well, what happened after that 2005? Real estate agents... a lot of real estate agents that we know fell off the map, and a lot of these people are out there looking for day jobs, and that's unacceptable. There is a way to make money in every single market. So when we started, we went basically our trial and error system. We perfected this system, and that's where we got the idea of bringing something to real estate agents out there across the country, a proven step-by-step easy manual to follow.
You know, it's funny. We talked briefly before we were on the air here, folks, about they had read my book, which is called The Real Estate Entrepreneur, and it's all about starting a real estate brokerage. And I'm just supporting what you're saying, that's how that book came about. You know, you started up, you did your thing, you worked it through, you found all the things that worked and didn't, and then you just put it into a book so that others can follow in your footsteps. So that's great.
Yeah.
So in your book, you speak of a roadmap, and you've kind of mentioned it here, a system for success, if you will, with REOs. And so what are some of the key elements of that system? And don't give all your secrets away, but just kind of give us some hints here.
Definitely. Well, there's actually six steps to the REO cycle. Basically, real quick, it's step one is you determine the occupancy of the REO. Mm-hmm. From there, you have the BPO, which is a broker's price opinion.
Right.
After that, it's repairing the REO. From there, it's listing and marketing, which then goes to offers and extensions.
Mm-hmm.
And the last the REO cycle is closings and reimbursements.
Got it.
So what we did in the book is we standardized each step of the REO cycle and basically made a foolproof system to minimize any errors or inconsistencies with
mm-hmm.
the quality of work. As in any business, in REOs, the listing agent wants to produce high-quality work with minimum error each and every time for each and every asset, each and every REO. And we've detailed that step-by-step in REO Boom.
Well, now, you know, you touched on something here that I want to just follow up with, because I think there's a little bit of confusion sometime with real estate agents that want to jump into this part of the market. And it talks you talk about repairing and then reimbursements. You know, isn't it very possible that as a real estate agent who's listing REO properties and working a lot with banks, that you might have to outlay some cash for some repairs and then get reimbursed at the closing?
You know, that's a great question. We actually have a whole chapter in the book. It's called OVM, Other Vendors Money. The beauty about becoming an REO listing agent is you don't use your own money. There's vendors
uh-huh.
out there, property preservation guys, they'll come out to you and they'll say, listen, I'll change the locks, I'll board up the homes, I'll do everything from A to Z, and you pay me when you get reimbursed. Okay? So
mm-hmm.
basically they're bankrolling your operations. Because they're desperate. When you're an REO listing broker and you're doing REOs, you are in demand and they need your business. So you do not have to outlay cash as long as you have the right vendors. But picking the right vendors is the key.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it really sounds to me like, oh, I'm sorry, Jonathan?
Oh, no, I was just going to say there's when you get time, there's another email from a listener. So go ahead and ask your question.
No, go for it. Yeah, do it. Let's do it.
Well, Claire Barbara writes in from Arlington Heights, Illinois, and she says that I understand that one of the recent trends in foreclosures is for homeowners to file counter lawsuits against the lender, I guess as a way to kind of drag it all out. Have you dealt with this, and how is it impacting the REO business?
The question was, who was filing counter lawsuits?
The homeowner that, I guess, is behind in their payments, and when they receive the foreclosure notice and the lawsuit, then they're filing a counter-lawsuit against the lender basically to buy them some time is what it sounds like here. That's what I would imagine. So have you dealt with that, or are you seeing that as a trend?
Actually, yes, that does happen frequently. However, by the time the bank takes possession of the asset and it becomes an REO, it has already passed through that stage where the homeowner has tried or has succeeded in litigating versus the lender. So by the time the bank takes possession and the certificate of title is issued to the bank, it's already past that stage. And at that time, it becomes an REO, real estate-owned property.
Understand. Well, that's good information, Claire.
Yeah, that's good. It's interesting because you do hear a lot about, you know, obviously there's some major class action litigation that's being hit against Bank of America in this whole regard, and people that have lost their homes that are going to, basically they can't get their home back. The banks owned it and they've turned around and sold it. I mean, they really don't, nothing can really stop that process at this point from happening once it gets to the REO stage.
I mean, at this point, consumers don't even know who owns the promissory note, or there's all these robo-signing issues going on and fraudulent activities going on with the title companies, and that's what's happening, and that's why there's that big backup of REOs that's going to come out in the marketplace in the next couple of years.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like you're really looking to educate the consumer and the agents out there regarding how to really capitalize on REOs. Is that, in a nutshell, yes?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. There's a big opportunity right now, and every real estate agent needs to be a part of that. I mean, your other alternatives are doing rentals or short sales, and I'm not putting that down, but REOs is here to stay, and it's going to be here till 2017 or longer. And there's a huge opportunity to make money right now. And I think every real estate agent out there that's listening and every consumer needs to take advantage of it.
Now, have you had some times where you've actually, because of your expertise, been able to come in and actually grasp an opportunity that maybe some other realtor just really couldn't get because of their lack of experience in the REO industry?
Well, you know, because the REO business is so hidden, it became a big accomplishment for us to develop this fine-tuned system that allows any fellow realtor to replicate our success.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, although we have made millions with REOs, we are also big participants of, you know, local NSP programs, the neighborhood stabilization programs that are in place to stabilize the housing market. So it is truly a success for us, but we do understand how a consumer feels, and we are part of stabilization efforts as well.
And, you know, Cliff, remember, there's one rule, and one mantra that we like to say to everyone that's listening. Banks want only one real estate agents out there, and that's basically to maximize your sales price in the shortest amount of time, period. And if an agent can perfect that from A to Z, from all the six steps of the REO cycle, they will become successful in this business. And that's the key, and that's the one thing that we emphasize a lot in REO Boom.
Great. Well, now I'm sure that you guys have also seen some pretty bad REO experiences. I mean, we sometimes hear of them on the air. Do you have any particular horror story that you found interesting while brokering? I mean, any one story that really sticks out where it just was just a bad situation? Wait,
many,
is that
William?
The just one? Is that what you mean?
Tough one. I wasn't expecting that question. Well, I can tell you a story. For one of the properties, you know, as an REO listing agent, you have to go and determine the occupancy of the REO to see, you know, if it's vacant or if one is living in the property. So for one of these properties, when I was in the field about 3 or 4 years ago, I knocked on the front door, and who opened it? Well, let me tell you, it was a model who was wearing nothing but her panties, and I was in shock.
Suffering succotash!
And basically, she was pretty much pleading with me. She thought I was a police or something. And,
okay, wait a minute. You know, I asked for a horror story. You're telling me some naked babe walks up and answers the door and pleads with you?
I don't think they heard the second syllable in that word. I think they only heard the first syllable.
Wow. So, folks, if you'd like to have naked models answering their doors, go ahead and get into the REO business. Lord, that is amazing. Now, what ultimately happened with her?
So she was, you know, she was pleading with me, telling me how she was, you know, in the country illegally, et cetera. And as soon as I look up, I see this 6'6" monster running towards the door with a bat from the inside, chasing me out of there. I ran faster than I could even think of what to do. I just ran. I think I ran past my car.
Wow.
I was scared.
I'll bet
so,
you.
You know, although it is a very lucrative opportunity, you always have to put safety first, and that's a big issue as well.
All right. Well, that is a good story. Folks, we're going to be right back with Aram and Tim Shaw, the REO brothers and authors of REO Boom, right after this quick commercial break.
Snap, what a happy sound. Snap is the happiest sound I've found. Me clap, rap. Snap, crackle, right, crispy. I say it's crackle, the crispy sound. You gotta have crackle or it's not round. I insist that pop's the sound. The best was missed unless pop's around. You can't stop hopping and the stereo's popping. Snap, crackle, pop, nice crispy. I insist that pop's the sound. I gotta have crackle and the pop's not round. Can't stop hopping and the stereo's popping. Snap, crackle, pop, make the world go round. Kellogg's best to you.
Well, welcome back to the Property Beat. We'd like to remind our listeners, if you have a question you'd like to ask our guests, you can simply call in at 347-989-0439.
Excellent. Well, great story. I'm still I'm still picturing that one. And other than that, now you said you transitioned over to the consulting side of the business. And any other book plans? Maybe you found some secrets out in another part of the industry, like investment or something like that. Any plans for additional books?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jonathan. We're actually working. We're almost halfway done with it. We're coming out with another book soon, and it's going to be basically targeted to the consumer. And basically, how do you find a great deal in the marketplace, and how do you get your offer accepted, and how do you invest in REOs in today's market? So that's what we're working on. A second project we're working on, and we've been talking to different networks like HGTV, DIY, is basically we're going to pay, or we're looking to bring out a show or a reality TV show on REOs and finding deals in the marketplace. So that's something that we're working on. We have in the works coming soon as the REO Brothers.
That's great. Now, I was on your website just recently. You've got a lot of resources that seem to be appearing on that as well for consumers, and it's a good education resource as well. So now, if a listener wanted to get out there and purchase your book, whether that's a realtor or a consumer that wants to know more, how would they do that?
Very easy. Well, the book was just released nationwide last week, and for this month only, the book is on sale for 33% off, and it's available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Nobles. Any local book reseller has it. Just look for REO Boom, and you'll find it.
Very, very interesting. So that's REO Boom, just like it sounds, B-O-O-M.
Yep.
And I guess you could probably just put that in the search bar there at Amazon. Now, you're in the consulting space now. What are your plans there? Who are you typically finding that you're consulting with, and how's that going for you?
There's a lot of real estate brokers who are looking to pretty much put their REO business on autopilot, and they lack fundamental proven system and technology to do that. So we're working with a lot of franchises and a lot of independent real estate brokers in the REO business to get them to that level where they can put their REO business on autopilot and cash in. So there's a lot of opportunity. Banks are opening their doors. New agents will emerge, and the cycle will just get bigger and bigger. So there's a lot of opportunity in the REO business, and if you want to get in, now is the time.
Now, you mentioned a lack of fundamental systems, but let's say there's a brokerage out there that's, you know, tried opening up a bank-owned listing division. What would you say is the key thing that they're missing other than the systems? Where are the mistakes made? What are they doing wrong? Because some of these people have just tiny little offices and doing a few things here and there, but then there's guys like you that have, you know, a big operation and are having tons of success. What separates the mice from the men, so to speak?
The fundamental thing that separates the good brokers from the great brokers is the knowledge of knowing what's expected, what's respected, and what asset managers really want. Think about it. If you're a local real estate broker and you don't have big operations, and let's say you perform a task that isn't as good as an asset manager wants, the asset manager isn't going to tell you and give you a chance and say, look, this is off target. What the asset manager will do is say, look, you know what, great job. Don't worry about it. As soon as we get another property, we'll contact you. However, the real good brokers get those properties, whereas the brokers who mess up or make mistakes, although an asset manager might tell them they're doing a good job, in reality, they won't reward them with more and more assignments.
Let me give you a quick example. Something as simple, Cliff, as putting the property address or the REO ID in the subject line when you shoot out an email. Things like that are what asset managers want. They want the simple, consistent, high-quality, detail-oriented work from real estate REO brokers. Mm-hmm. And little things like that is what makes the difference between a good and a great REO broker.
And again, an asset manager is not going to babysit an REO listing agent. And they're not going to tell them that they're doing a bad job, but what they will do is not give them more assignments. So it's up to the REO listing agent to do their due diligence and learn what asset managers really want.
So how would you so let's say I'm an agent. I've been thinking about getting into this REO side of things. I've got the ability and the attention to detail to do this. How do I get started? Who do I reach out to at banks, or how do I get started to do REO properties? Where do I go first?
That's a great question. Okay, so basically there's it's a systemized plan. It's actually a three-step plan. Other than the first thing I would say is you have to do the paperwork, right? So you got to go, you got to apply. In our book, we have a comprehensive bank-owned list. You can go to REOBoom.com and download it. You apply to all the banks as a listing agent, and then you got to hit all the conferences. You got to go to these conferences. You got to meet and greet. And once you get in front of them, this is what makes the difference. We have in our book something called the REO Farm Play. Okay, and the Farm Play is F-A-R-M. It's Family, Association, Recreation, and Motivation. And the goal with the Farm Play is to build a relationship with the asset manager. The first thing you need to do, or let me rephrase, not do, is product puke on them. I see a lot of agents, a lot of brokers, when they meet asset managers at conventions, the first thing they do is they run to them and they say, well, they're the best thing since sliced bread. Well, that's the last thing they want to hear from you. They want to hear other things from you, and that's why we have this acronym, Family, Association, Recreation, Motivation, and the goal is to build motivation before you talk business, MOB, motivation over money. So that's one thing you got to master. And the second thing I would say as a tip is to implement the reach-around method. And this is another method that we came about or implemented was you want to befriend your competition. I know it sounds crazy, but if you find a broker, let's say 100 miles away from you, and they have an in with an asset manager, you can contact the broker, that competitor, and say, listen, give me a plug with the asset managers. You know my quality is good. And basically you're reaching around the wall of defense, and you're getting someone else's letter of recommendation to get you in the game. Okay. And third thing, and the last thing I can say is we have this thing called the REO lunch method. And just like when you take someone out to lunch, and with the hopes of gaining their business, well, here's the kicker: you are actually giving an asset manager a free second opinion BPO at your cost. That you're done. You're showing them why you are the best. Your quality is the best. So you're doing a free second opinion BPO, and you'll be surprised at how many people, agents out there, mess up on their BPOs, and you can step in, follow the system, and get that listing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's been REO listing agents who have been doing REOs for 3-4 years, but no one has told them that some of the things that they're doing is wrong or inaccurate. There's so many errors that we see in the market every day. You know, through our consulting, we coach so many agents on how to save time and get the deliverables in place so asset managers feed them more and more properties.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big need for a proven system, and that's what REO Boom has.
Great, great. So now let's go to the other side of the formula and talk about from the consumer. What three tips would you give a consumer who was looking to invest in or purchase bank-owned listings?
Well, first of all, I would say wait. there's a surge of REOs that are about to hit the market, and I wouldn't pull the trigger just yet. I wouldn't.
So you think there is this shadow inventory that's about to show up that we've all heard about?
Oh, I know it, definitely, 100%. I mean, it's coming out somewhere. I mean, it's not going to be hidden forever. So wait until February, mid-January, and price values will go down a little bit. It's not all going to be released at the same time. Obviously, it doesn't make sense that would happen. However, now would not be the optimal time, in our professional opinion. The second tip I would give is to work directly with the REO listing agent. As a consumer, you want to go straight to the source.
Mm-hmm.
And the source is the listing agent. They have expertise, knowledge, and they'll pretty much tell you what you have to do to get the best deal on an REO. The third tip I would say is don't if you're a consumer, a homeowner, let's say, don't buy only on price.
Mm-hmm.
Prices are, you know, the market is so volatile right now. If your fundamental reason for purchasing is price, you're going to have buyer's remorse. Prices go up, prices go down, the values fluctuate. So find a home that you love, and you're going to get a good deal. But don't expect to get the best price at a certain amount of time. I mean, the prices fluctuate so much. For an investor,
mm-hmm.
I would say stick to the numbers. Buy on cash flow, not on capital appreciation. Since there is so much uncertainty as to when the official bottom of the housing market will be, we recommend, one, don't buy on price, and for investors, to buy on cash flow.
And, you know, you're never going to be able to pick the bottom, right? It's so,
that's exactly what I was about to say, yeah.
I mean, there's, you can't cherry pick. So buy on the numbers. Buy on what makes financial sense on your cash. Right, so.
Yeah, no, every time you try to time a market, that's a sure way to miss it.
Right.
So, wow. Well, guys, you guys have been great, and we'd like to thank our listening audience for tuning in to today's episode, and thank you guys, Aram and Tim Shaw. Wow, you shared some great information, give us some good secrets. So best of success to you and your new book, REO Boom. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us. And if there's any other questions, you can follow us on Twitter at REO Brothers, and we can answer more questions there. So
there you go. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Well, that's a wrap for our show today, folks. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Property Beat. We'd like to remind you that if you have any questions you'd like answered on our next show, you can simply email us at questions@thepropertybeat.com. You can also follow our blog at thepropertybeat.com, where you'll get news, tips, and stories about today's real estate industry. For now, I'm your host, Cliff Perotti, along with Jonathan Nicholas, saying so long. Thanks for tuning in.